of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet sounds the call. At the midnight cry, we'll be going home. When Jesus steps out on a cloud, dead in Christ shall rise to meet him in the air, and then those that remain will be quickly changed. I cry when Jesus comes again. I look around me, I see prophecies fulfilling. They're appearing everywhere. I can almost hear the Father as he says, "Son, go get my children." And at the midnight cry, the bride of Christ will rise when Jesus steps out on a cloud to call his children. The dead in Christ shall
or me, and you're welcome to sing. And can I sing like that if I get on prednisone? Huh? Wow, that's something, man. Whoa, you don't need no sermon after that, do we? Wow, man. Wouldn't it have been great if he'd come right in the middle of that song? Oh man. Oh. I got the Holy Ghost goosebumps, Baptist bumps, amen. Even the Baptist can get bumps, right? And so turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. I got 20 minutes to preach a 35-minute sermon. So you're going to have to listen fast this morning. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 and 8, one of the coup de grace texts to go to for the rapture of the church. The end time events will be kicked off really with the rapture. Christ could come at any moment. Any moment he can come. Nothing needs to be fulfilled. What has to be fulfilled is what happens after Christ comes for his church. So the rapture of the church is called the heavenly homegoing, the blessed hope, the catching away, the snatching of the saints, harpazo, the snatching, the seizing of the saints out of this old world, and the resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the life. You know, our previous president tried to drain the swamp, but Christ will drain the swamp. Amen? I'm not looking to see who's behind Biden. I'm not looking to see who's going to be in charge of all this. I'm looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for the Christ. Amen? Amen? To come when we see him face to face. I can't wait to get to heaven. And nothing you have in this life to hold you back, there's nothing worse, any more important than going to heaven. Amen? Right. Whether by death or by rapture. Let's read the verse quickly. I never spoke in tongues, but I might try and read this real fast, okay? Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look in verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. There it is. Where we get that from the Latin, we get the word rapture, harpazo. We'll be snatched out together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so we shall ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I believe the key verse for me today is in verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. But we have hope. Because of these reasons I'm going to share with you, four reasons why we have hope in our text. First of all, the revelation. In verses 13 through 15, we see the problem of the revelation. Paul received special revelation about the rapture. It was silent in the Old Testament. It's through Paul's teachings that we learn about the rapture. When Christ comes 7 years before the tribulation, comes for take the church away, 7 years of tribulation, then his second coming, and we come with him then as he sets up his millennial kingdom. Amen? We are pre-trib, pre-millennial. I am so right, I never take a left. Amen? I wouldn't even turn left to turn into Whataburger. I'll go around the block, right? So look at this revelation in verses 13. First of all, the problem of the revelation in verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That's Paul's metaphor for death. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. See, the burning question for the church at Thessalonica was this. They were expecting the Lord's soon return. And they were being deceived by false teachers as if they were already in the day of the Lord. That's another way of saying the tribulation. And so they had a question. What happens to our loved ones who put their faith in Christ but die before Jesus comes? Are they left behind when he comes? And Paul writes to answer their questions. The first reason for writing was to remove by the growing ignorance of biblical insight. You know, there's a lot of people that have been sitting in the church their whole life, and they're still illiterate when it comes to the Bible. And that's sad. It's amazing what God will straighten out in our lives as we just study our Bible, right? Amen. And they were being misled by false teachers. We'll see that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 when we get there on Wednesday nights. The day of the Lord has not come. You have not missed the rapture. And the second reason was to give them hope based on the truth of the resurrection of Christ in verse 14. You see, those who have hope believe the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And because of his resurrection, our resurrection is assured of. We can have confidence today. Now, the Bible says here that there was a third reason. He was writing to remove grief. Paul's point is don't grieve as others who have no hope. Now, He's not saying don't grieve, but we don't grieve as others who have no hope, right? And so we sorrow over our loss and separation, yes, but time and the Lord has a way of helping with that. But we never sorrow for the loss of the one who died because they are in heaven and they don't want to come back, right? To die is gain. Like that what the Bible says? And then we see the problem of the revelation, verse 14 and 15, we see the promise of the revelation. Note the phrase, sleep in Jesus. For if we believe, that's the crux, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Christ, Jesus, will God bring with him. See, when we die, before the rapture, God takes our spirit and soul right into the presence of Jesus, where he's at right now in the third heaven. And we're conscious awareness of his presence. And we stay there until the time of the resurrection. And at the resurrection, at the rapture, God will bring them with him, and they're going to meet their bodies in the air, and they're going to be changed into a glorified, resurrected body like Christ. There is no such, I'll only say it once, there is no such, as the cults teach, there is no such thing as soul sleep. Your soul is not in that grave with you. Your soul goes into the presence of the Lord. Amen? It is the body that's asleep, not the soul. Okay? And so that's why he's writing that. And so the promise of the resurrection. Notice that term that Paul uses, the word sleep. Sleep is a figure of speech for death. Just as one who is sleeping does not cease to exist. Now, you may feel like you've ceased to exist, but you haven't. So it is. The dead believer continues to exist. The grave is a bed for the dead body, not for the soul and the spirit. Okay? There's no such thing as soul sleep. That's what the cults believe. That's what separates us from them. Our hope is based on the Lord's resurrection and the promise of our bodily resurrection. So what's the first reason why we have hope? It's because of the resurrection. And because of the, not the resurrection, but the revelation of the Lord. Aren't you glad today that God has revealed his word to us that we can know what's going to happen, right? And the second reason, because of the return in verse 16. He says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead in Christ are those who are asleep in Jesus, right? People used to joke about us Baptists. They say, well, y'all going to be first in the rapture because it says the dead in Christ will rise first. But that's not what it's teaching, right? We are asleep in Jesus. No matter whether you're alive today or you die and go to heaven, you're still in Jesus, amen? And that can't be taken away from you. We see the return, verse 16. Notice the delay of his return. Jesus said in John 14, he says, I will come again to receive you unto myself. That's a rapture passage too, because he comes to receive us unto himself and we go where he's at in the third heaven. That's not a tribulation interpretation there. Just as he entered history at the time at his first coming, over 400 years of silence, he will do the same at the rapture of the church. He will supernaturally inject himself into history and pull his church out. Amen? And we'll go home to be with him forever. Now, very quickly, I want to share with you some differences between the rapture and the revelation. The rapture for the church, and then 7 years after the tribulation, we're premillennial. And 7 years later, he comes again. That's his second coming. It's different phases, but all one thing. He comes for his church in the air. He comes to set his feet on the Mount of Olives at the second coming, right? And we come with him.
Right.
You know, I never had a big brother, but I'm going to come, and I'll say sick him, you know, and he'll do his thing, right? And wow, we'll be with him. In fact, the Bible says we'll judge angels.
Right.
You better get some discernment about you, because many of you can't even judge your own self, right? And we're going to be judging angels. The delay in his coming. And then the differences between the rapture and the return. You might want to write these down. I've shared with you many times. I try to preach on the rapture once a year. And I don't think anybody's going to get tired of hearing it, especially after she sang that song, right? Now, at the rapture, we ascend in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. He never comes to earth. We go up to him in the air. At the second coming, the Son of Man comes out of the clouds and touches earth, the Mount of Olives, just where he ascended from.
Right.
At the rapture, he comes himself for his bride. before the tribulation and take us to the Father's house. At the second coming, he comes with the angels to gather elect Israel and gather them, if you will, together to enter the millennial kingdom. I'm not worried about Israel. God's going to protect Israel.
Right.
You know, I always remember what one of my favorite preachers said, John Phillips, and why he was pre-trib. He says, God will not send his son to beat up the bride before he takes her home, right? The tribulation is not for the church. It's for rejecting Israel, and it's for Christ rejectors. It's not for the church.
Right.
Christ is going to come and take us into his Father's house. At the rapture, there is a resurrection, right? We read about it in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 4. There is a resurrection. But at the second coming in Matthew 24 and Revelation 19, it says nothing about a resurrection. A lot of people believe there's a general resurrection and judgment, then there's separation. No, there is a resurrection of the church 7 years later, the resurrection, if you will, of tribulation saints. And that's when other people are sent into hell. There's no general resurrection. We are pre-trib. We are pre-millennial. If you don't know what that means, you've been under me for 19 years, you should know by now, right? At the rapture, he comes 7 years before the tribulation. What is the tribulation? It's a seven-year period fulfilling Daniel's 70th week in chapter 9. Right now, Daniel says we're in a gap between the 69th and 70th week. And after God gets through with Israel, the fullness of the Gentiles come in, God's going to take the church out, and he's going to begin his prophetic program with the nation of Israel. Folks, I'm telling you, that's going to be a howdy-doody time, right? And that second coming comes after the tribulation to earth with his saints to reign in the millennial kingdom. At the rapture, he comes as a bridegroom. At the second coming, he comes as the wrath of the Lamb. The first time he came as a lamb to save us. Second time, when he's coming for us in the air, he comes again for his bride. But when he comes again, all wrongs will be made right, right? I don't care who's in charge of America by then, if we're even here. He's going to come and pour out the wrath of the Lamb. He's going to be the Lion of the tribe of Judah, right? And he's going to reign. You won't have to worry about any more injustice. He's going to set it all straight. At the rapture, people witness his return, his people. We'll see him at the rapture. The world won't. While the world sleeps in darkness, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, chapter 5. At the second coming, every eye shall see him and mourn over the one they pierced. That is not a rapture passage, that is a second coming passage. Israel will mourn over the recognizing for who he is, Isaiah 53 says, and they'll mourn. But one-third will receive him as Messiah, and one-third will enter the millennial kingdom, Zechariah. So we have the revelation, we have the return. But then thirdly, we have the resurrection and the rapture. Y'all going to have to speed up your listening, okay? We have the resurrection and the rapture. Look in verse 16b. Well, let's read all of verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. First of all, I want you to note the sounds of the rapture. There's a shout, there's a voice, and there's a trumpet. I like what John Phillips says about here. John Phillips is on in heaven now. He got Alzheimer's. He's in heaven right now. But he doesn't have Alzheimer's in heaven. Right? He says the shout is for the church. And three shouts of Jesus in the New Testament, and every time Jesus shouted, there was a resurrection. Do you know that? He shouted at the tomb of Lazarus. He shouted at the cross. There was a resurrection, not only his resurrection, but remember what Matthew 27 says, selected Old Testament saints came out of the grave and walked around Jerusalem?
Right.
Boy, howdy, that would have been a great time, wouldn't it? We're not told, don't try to find out what happened to them. We're not told in the scripture. Okay? And then he's going to come again. He's going to give a shout. Come up hither, church, or whatever. He's going to call us up, and we're out.
Amen.
Everywhere he shouted, there's a resurrection. He shouts at the rapture and calls the church to come up. The body of Christ, the church, was supernaturally injected in this world. at Pentecost, and we will be supernaturally ejected out of history at the rapture. I never rode in a jet plane like Brother Jack has. Brother Jack's an airplane pilot and flew jets, right? And he knows what it means. Was you ever ejected? Okay, he was a good pilot then, okay. But I can imagine that. Y'all know me. I don't like to fly. I don't want to be ejected out of no plane. You know, I'm where I need to be. I don't need to be ejected, right? But we're going to be supernaturally ejected out of this world just like that in a moment. You won't have time? Hey, you won't have time to sing that song. What is that song we sing? I done forgot what it was. See, that's what happens to you when you get old, right? I'll fly away, right? You ain't going to have time to sing it, right? And good thing I don't, because God might listen to me singing and send me back, right? And then you have the voice. What is that? The voice of the angels, the archangel, the symbol, the angels together to carry out the tribulation judgments. We studied the book of Revelation several times. Y'all know how many times angels do the judgments in tribulation and in Revelation and for Armageddon. So you have the angels gathering to carry out the tribulation, 21 judgments in the book of Revelation. Then he says you have the trump of God, to gather the Jews back to the land, the Lord's return 7 years later in the kingdom. The trump of God. Israel knew what a trump was, a special announcement, assembling for war, and things like that. In fact, we just got through in a study on the seven feasts of Israel, right? All of those talk about the person and work of Christ. And they observed them, many not knowing that they would be fulfilled in Christ. And we studied that. Remember, after the four feasts of Pentecost, the birth of the church, there was a gap between the last three feasts. And the fall feast would come later. Guess who that gap is? That gap is us. We're in the gap. And after the gap followed the Feast of Trumpets. That speaks of Israel's regathering. And we're in that gap now. But folks, don't worry about Israel getting back in the land. God will bring them back into the land, right? They don't need your $10 a month to get them there, right? God will bring them back into the land. So we see the sound. We see the sights of the rapture. In verses 15 and 16, do you realize, and I didn't learn this until a few years back, there's a resurrection and a rapture. Those that are alive and remain are not going to be resurrected. We're not in a grave, right? Only the ones that are sleeping Jesus in the grave. There's a resurrection. Then we're going to be supernaturally translated up and changed as we go. Look in verses 15 and 16. The resurrection of those who are asleep. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. What? His revelations? That we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them, would not go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. I hear people, Brother Robert, talk about, I saw Jesus the other day when I was shaving. You know, I got to guarantee you, if I saw Jesus while I was shaving, I'd be all cut up, right? Right? You're not going to see Jesus until the rapture. You're not even going to see him when you die. The angels are going to take you into his presence, right? And he says here, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Here answers the concern that many believers, what's going to happen to our dead loved ones? Paul says, I taught you these things. Don't follow after these false teachers that are thinking they got a word of the Lord or a forged letter or whatever. We'll look at that later. But he says here, I've taught you these things. They're not going to miss the rapture. They are the priority. They are coming out of the grave first. Then we who are alive and remain will be called up together. I don't know which one would be the best feeling to have in the world, to come out of the grave or to be alive and remain and just translate as you go up. But whatever God decides, that's the way I'm going, right? But I am going, right? And then there's the rapture of those who are alive and remain. Again, there are those that have no hope. There are those who have hope. Some are asleep in Jesus. Some are alive and remain. That's who we are today. You are part of the alive and remain. Look in verse 17 and 18. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The word caught up means to snatch away, to pluck, to seize by force. Paul used the same word when he was caught up into heaven in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It's used many times. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch when he witnessed? He was caught up and he was out of there, right? That word is used many times in Scripture. To seize by force. Lot had to be taken almost by force out of Sodom, right? And that's where God is. There's so many of us that are so attached to this world and our things and our possessions. God's going to have to literally seize you out of that, right? And take you away from that. But then lastly, why do we have hope? The revelation, the return, the resurrection, and the rapture. And then the reunion. Can I get a hallelujah, right? You know, the best thing about going to heaven is seeing Jesus. I'm not one of those preachers at a funeral preach, do you want to see your mom again? No, I want to see Jesus first, amen? He's the one that died for my sins, right? Look in verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall ever be with the Lord. You know, you think about it, it's a double reunion. We'll see Jesus, the one who died for our sins. You know, that's why I'm in church. I don't miss unless I'm sick, because the world didn't die for my sins. Christ died for my sins. Amen? And that's why I'm here. Our loved ones, we'll get to see them again. We're caught up together with them. And we're caught up together with believers. But there's something I don't want you to miss here. And that word 17, in verse 17, to meet the Lord in the air. In the Greek, that word means a delegation of citizens to go out to visit a coming dignitary. We go and we meet the Lord in the air, right? And I believe that's where the judgment seat of Christ takes place for the believer. And the great white throne will be later, 1,007 years later, for the wicked, those that rejected Christ. So we're going to meet them. Now, will we know them? Yes, we'll know them. You know, Peter, James, and John knew Moses and Elijah, even though they hadn't seen them on the Mount of Transfiguration. John tells us we'll be known as we are known, right? But we're going to meet them, but it's not going to be the same relationship it is now. So some of you that don't want to be married, you're going to be freed from it, right? And they won't recognize me. I mean, she'll look over there and say, I think I used to be married to that guy, you know? But he's got blonde hair, 6'2", blue eyes. That's not him, you know? It's going to be a wonderful time, right? We'll see our loved ones, yes, but the emphasis is on meeting the Lord in the air, right? Going to heaven, wanting to go where your mother's at, that's never been a motivation for going to heaven. The motivation is to understand you need to repent of your sins and believe in Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what gets you to heaven. I feel like when I hear a preacher say that at a funeral, by the way, y'all know what I think about that. You can hear so much bad theology at a funeral, right? I just want to get up and slap him and take over, you know? But we'll meet him. Notice verse 13 and 18. We're almost gone. Give me a few more minutes. Verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not. Verse 18. Wherefore, comfort another with these words. You see how it goes? Paul tells us to remind one another about this life and all its pains and sorrows and problems and separation. It's but a temporary existence. Folks, a lot of you are pouring out too much in this temporary world. Amen? Folks, we need to live for the life hereafter and invest in the kingdom of God. That's why we don't grieve as others who have no hope, because we got hope. We have hope, right? If you're here without Christ this morning, you have no hope. You're not annihilated. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches if you die without Christ, your spirit and soul go to Hades, waiting to be cast into the lake of fire in Revelation. And the Bible teaches that we bury your body, that will also come out, and it'll be in a body, a new body, that will be able to be suffer and burn for eternity and eternity, right? But if you're a believer today, whether you're alive or remain, or you're asleep in Jesus already, some of you are asleep, but not yet, way I mean it, right? Then you will have hope. Your body goes right into the presence of the Lord. You know, there is no soul sleep. And we're at the feet of the altar there, the Bible teaches, until the time that the Father says, go get them, right? And he comes for his church, right? Then's the resurrection. People are not, your believing loved ones are not walking around heaven, and they have no body yet. It hasn't been resurrected, right? Boy, it's silent then, because y'all been taught that, but that's wrong. You don't get your new body until the resurrection, right? And it comes to that. We don't grieve as others who have no hope. We have hope. And so today, as I close, we have only two groups of people here, those who have no hope and those who have hope. Those who have hope are those who are either asleep in Jesus. Do you realize the church is not only on earth, the church is also in heaven right now? And those who have are asleep in Jesus, and those who are alive and remain, you alive and remain. And one day, if you're still alive and remain when Christ comes, at any moment, you can be supernaturally taken out of this world. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15 says it's in a moment. It's in like an atom. It's just so short, right? You're not going to have time to sing, I'll fly away, unless you get to heaven and say, I flew away, right? Right? You're not going to have enough time. But the choice is yours. You know, you can either pay the wages of sin yourself, or you can receive the payment that was made on the cross for yourself by Christ and coming to him in repentance and faith. And God, I recognize I'm a sinner. God, I believe the gospel. I believe that you died for my sins. You was buried and you rose again the third day. And I ask you to come into my heart. I want to worship and serve you. You are now Lord of my life. You're not a past. You're not a convenient part of my life. You're not an add-on. You are my life, right? And you come to him like that, in repentance and faith. As our musicians come, Father, we thank you again for your word today. What a day it's been, Lord. Come for us. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I have nothing tied to this world except my family. My family knows I love them, and they want to go to heaven too. There's nothing holding me here. And Lord, I pray that you come for us today. We're looking for that cry, that shout, that trumpet. If there's one here today that's been playing church, one here today that says, you know, I'm a church member. I was baptized, but they show no evidence of love for God. Lord, I pray today that people will get right. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Please stand.